with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we get into all kinds of football stuff, maybe a little baseball sprinkled in as well. At the end of the show, we'll talk NFL week coming up, the best games of the week, and also the Major League Baseball playoffs winding down toward the World Series as both championship series are now in Game 6. Over the weekend. So we'll talk about that. College football this weekend, one of the worst slates I can remember for October in recent memory. Just not a lot of good games, but the one of the good games there is involves Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State and Iowa State will play in Ames tomorrow. We'll talk about some keys to that game, what it would mean, especially for an OSU win. Almost guarantee them a spot in the Big 12 title game with the wins that they've accumulated over Baylor and Kansas State and Texas, and now Iowa State, if they can get it. This would be a huge win for the Cowboys. Iowa State would still have a little bit more work to do in order to make that game. OU Kansas, does anything matter in this one? And then I want you to make a case for a shocking upset nationwide, because it's kind of a, like I said, kind of a weak week, if you were. So make a case for an upset to be pulled across the nation. And we'll talk high school football right off the top with the Elks dominating Cash last night. What does that do for their playoff chances? Where does that kind of put them as we wind down the regular season in high school football? Big games around the area in Class 4A's District 1. There's a big one in 4A2 that we're going to have our eyes on to see what the result is. And then, of course, a Class A District 1 also has some big ones. In Thomas, up at Moreland, be a big game, and then the other two with playoff implications all across. So all four will matter tonight in Class A District 1. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. You can feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to give a shout-out to everybody that hit us up on the text line last night.
Yes.
Here's the deal. If we ask for it and you deliver, we've got to talk to you. We got to give you the shout-outs. And,
so
man
cool.
Alive, did everybody watching on Big Elk TV or listening on Cool 94 hit us up on that text line. That was fun to see.
Sometimes we need that reminder that people are actually watching and listening.
Yeah, and where you're at.
I love that part. Knowing where you're at and who you're watching, too. I thought it was cool. We had Garbarino's granddad in New Orleans watching. And then, like, two plays later, he takes it to the house.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool stuff. That's what it's all about. You know, it's connecting family members who can't be at the games.
Heck, we had folks in the stands down in Cash giving out shout-outs.
I like that.
The band
got some shout-outs.
Paige and the band got a shout-out.
The cheerleaders got a
shout-out. Yeah, it was fantastic.
It's like, Oprah, you get a shout-out. Get a shout-out.
we were handing out gifts through the broadcast last night. On Big Elk TV and obviously on Cool 94 as well. It's fun stuff. So 225-9698 is that text line. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Any of those things on your mind, feel free to chime in. If you've got something else, that's fine too. At 225-9698. If you're going to be outside of the listening area one of these days and you want to stay in touch with the show live, there's a couple ways to do that. You can log on to KADSAM.com, hit the live stream button, push play, and boom, there we are. Through the magic of the internet. You can also download our app, the Paragon Communications app. It's free to download. And once you get that, not only do you get radio, you get all kinds of different things. So three radio stations here in Elk City with us on KADS. You get KECO. You get Cool 94. You also can check out the Penny News online. ThePennyNews.com is the website through the app. So you can peruse the different deals in this week's Penny News. And Big Elk TV and Paragon TV is also in that app. So you could watch, you know, if you're not able to make it down to cash, like some people weren't last night, you could watch through the app, Big Elk TV. Then tonight, Paragon TV, it'll have Merritt at Thomas, a big game in District 1 in Class A. It has all kinds of playoff implications smacked around on it. So you can watch there. Paragon TV, 7 o'clock, kick tonight between the Oilers and the Terriers. Then, of course, if you missed the show entirely, a couple ways to go back and listen. The Skinny on Sports podcast can be found on KADSAM.com. Also, you can find us on iTunes. And if you find us on iTunes, you might as well subscribe, because then we will alert you when a new podcast drops. You don't have to go searching out for it. We'll alert you. It'll just, boom, there it is. You can listen to the show that way. Good morning, Jared.
What? I'm sorry.
Good morning.
A little drowsy still. How are you?
About, I'm going to say about 88%.
Well, that's good. You know, it's funny. I feel more refreshed than I did the other day when I woke up, when I just couldn't shake that tired feeling. Remember that? What was that, a couple days ago?
Yeah.
I feel better now. I'm still tired, but it's worth it. Totally worth going down to cash, getting home late after a whooping like that.
First time the Elks had beat the Bulldogs in 5 tries. It's cash out of 5-game winning streak. They'd won 8 of 10 in the series before last night. And, man, the Elks just came out exactly like you hoped they would. I mean, there were a lot of different factors that could have led to a little bit of a sluggish performance, you know, overlooking cash as the Bulldogs came in 0-4 in the district play. With Clinton coming up next week for Elk City, you know, you could see those things looming out there as possible distractions for the Elks. None of it happened. Defense came out 3 and out. The offense marched at 57 yards for a touchdown, 7-0. The next play from Cash was an interception for the Elks. Got a field goal on that drive. And that just, you know, the theme of the night, I think, first off, defense for Elk City for 2 weeks in a row now have caused turnovers and done a really good job getting off the field. But another thing that was really glaring difference last night in that game to me was the field position battle. The Elks dominated the field position battle, creating turnovers, getting 3 and outs, and forcing punts from back in Cash's territory where, you know, the Elks really didn't return a punt. I don't think they returned a punt all night long of any consequence for sure. But those guys back there, Noblet and Garbarino, did a great job of catching the ball in the air where before it could bounce and you know, go down the field on that turf down there at Cash. So I thought they did a fantastic job of kind of creating field position by just coming up, catching punts, whether it was, you know, the one time it felt like Noblet dove in front of one of the Elks to keep it from hitting him. But other than that, you know, fair catching it when it was needed and just saving, you know, 15, 20 yards of field position time after time after time. And it felt like the entire game was played on Cash's side of the field.
Yeah, all three phases of the game were very solid last night. You mentioned the special teams, the defense forcing the turnovers, the electrifying play of the game was huge. With the was it ruled a no, it was an interception.
It was intercept, yeah.
I mean, but that set the tone right there, I think, defensively, and then the offense. Day-Day, he had a nice night. He finished over what, about buck 20 something. What do you have in a touchdown?
132
in a touchdown. Took him a little bit to get going, but that was the game plan for Cash, was to shut him down and make the rest of the Big Elks beat you, and that's what Culver did with his arm. And everybody else stepped up. So all three phases of the game were very solid. You know, I said it going in, said it afterwards. Elk City is the better team when it comes down to them and Cash. I think they knew it, and they used that as confidence, not overconfident. Took care of business, and as this the next step towards – a possible playoff spot, possible high playoff spot, depending on what can happen next week and the week after that.
Yeah, though, it grown-up win is what I kind of kept mentioning of
business,
just business-like grown-up win.
And flashy. They didn't have to do a lot of flashy things because you line them up head-to-head, Elk City was the better team. Simple as that.
Yep, and they played like it. And there wasn't, you know, earlier in the season, I think there were a couple games where the Elks had the other team outmanned and kind of played down. Mm-hmm. To the competition a little bit, kind of got themselves involved in, you know, the extracurricular stuff. And Cash didn't do any of that. That's not what I'm saying. But the Elks got pulled into that. That's not what happened at all last night. They came out, just dominated the football game like the better team's supposed to do. And, you know, that's just what happened. And you looked up all of a sudden, you know, it was 24 to nothing. Then it was 31. Then it was 38. And just the defense kept on giving that offense great field position. And you know, it wasn't perfection on offense by any stretch. I think Coach Meadows referenced that in the post-game interview he did with Hunter. You know, they were doing some different things, and the offensive line was, you know, having to adjust on the fly to what Cash was doing. And I think that that's going to be something that we're going to continue to see, because the truth of it is, I mean, there's no giant secret to what the Elks are trying to do offensively. Everybody knows what's coming. It's just a matter of, can you stop it? Mm-hmm. And to this point, really, you know, outside of the long run that Kraus broke and then also Cooper there at the end, I thought Cash did a good job as anybody, Bethany included, at stopping the Elk City run game. You know, it just
bottled it up there.
There wasn't a ton of 12 to 20 yarders. It was five. It was four. It was six. It was none. And by the way, more tackles at the line of scrimmage on Dalen last night than anybody has had all season long. So, you know, and Cash was sending guys, and Corey did enough through the air to kind of stave that off. You know, the perfect throw on the wheel route to Mason for the touchdown, hit Drake on the sideline on that first series that got the Elks down inside the red zone. So Corey did enough. You know, I'm sure he would tell you, I'd like to have this one back or that one back or whatever, you know, just, you know, to be a little bit more or closer to perfect. But, you know, he took care of the football last night, threw a touchdown, ran for two. And, you know, with the way that the Elks have been playing defense and the way that they've been able to run it all season long, you don't need just a whole bunch more than that in a lot of games to be able to win them.
Yeah. Very businesslike. I mean, we would say it was a boring game if it wasn't for a win, you know. We were having fun. Don't kid yourself. But there was a lot of flash, and you didn't need it. You absolutely did not need it. And I kind of like those games where they had to adjust – offensively 100%. To what the defense was throwing at him, because some teams, you know, that are solid won't adjust. Call it stubbornness, call it unwillingness, I don't know, whatever. But to know that you can take this very mature team and make those adjustments, they make the adjustments, they listen to their coaches, and there you go, they're winning, I lost count, 52-7. So, I like that. I like the mid-game adjustments, and like I said, the three phases were really, really good. It leads you – I mean, you've just scored 66 points followed by 52 points. I mean, it leads you with a lot of confidence going in the next week, a lot of confidence.
Yeah, and another thing, that being able to see that as it happens, then you wonder, you know, with the veteran group up front, how much faster they can kind of start to adjust. You know what I'm saying? Instead of it taken to halftime, maybe they will be able to communicate what they're seeing a little bit faster with the coaches and get that thing changed a little bit quicker on the fly. You know what I'm saying?
You've seen
that happen too. So, sure. Good win by the Elks, and it's everything's still out in front of them. The opportunity for everything. The way that I was looking at it, I was trying to get kind of some verification on this. It looks last night's win does not necessarily clinch a playoff spot for the Elks, but it goes a long way to doing that. I think just crunching the numbers, I do think there is a way that Elk City could miss the playoffs still, but that would be really
– Bite your tongue.
Everything would have to go completely wrong.
Bite your tongue, good sir.
Well, I'm just saying. But that's the bad news. You know what? You always start with the bad news, and then you bring the good news last. You know what else is out there?
District title.
It's still in play for the Elks after what happened last night. We'll see tonight's games around the district. You've got Bethany at Chickasha. You've got Clinton at Weatherford, the Custer County conflict. And then, of course, Newcastle down at Elgin. You know, as far as around here, all eyes will be focused over on Weatherford, with Clinton going over to Weatherford and playing that game at Southwestern. But with what we've seen out of those two teams, I don't think that's going to be the competitive one. I think what you're looking at is, what can Chickasha do against Bethany as far as a competitive game that has more implications, both playoff-wise and district title-wise, at the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't think Newcastle at Elgin is an automatic win for the Racers either. Nothing's automatic. We thought Elgin at Weatherford would be automatic for Weatherford. But, you know, road games are road games still, so Newcastle – what I'm saying is, if Elgin can pull off the win, wouldn't that make it a little more concrete for the Elks?
No.
Given
Newcastle
a loss
and Chickasha, because then next week's game would eliminate one of those.
That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't that more solidify it more for Elks to finish no worse than third if they could take care of business? I'm going to say they split the next two games.
That's the key. If Elk City wins one more game, they're in. No doubt about it. Nothing can happen for that not to happen. But there's scenarios where if they lost both, depending on that Newcastle-Chickasha result, it could get kind of hairy. Because here is how it could get hairy. Yes. Newcastle win tonight.
And then
Chickasha lose tonight. But then next week, Chickasha beat Newcastle. And then obviously Elk City lose
that
both.
That puts them at 3-3.
And then they'd be 4-3 after beating the Elks. Chickasha would be 4-3, and Elk City would be 4-3 if they lost both. And then that gets to the points and at the scores.
Yeah,
and
it
gets hairy that way. If
I'm
those
trying
results
to figure out who to root for.
Go exactly wrong.
Obviously rooting for Chickasha.
No.
Tonight against Bethany?
Absolutely. Well, for a district title, yes.
That's what I'm saying.
For a playoff spot, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Well, what do we want? District title and a playoff spot, or just a playoff spot?
It would be nice to have both wrapped up. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
listen,
that would throw.
Let's keep it simple here. Here's what we're rooting
win
for.
Win twice and
Elk
none of
City.
This matters.
Yeah, let's just root for that and see what else shakes out. But
win twice and none of it matters, yeah. And then we'll see what shakes out on a tie break and all that kind of thing. Which, you know, when you look at the points, depending on, I mean, it totally depends on scores, but the Elks are in a decent spot with those points to end up maybe in the top two. It just totally depends on the scores, you know, and how everybody does. But a great win last night, and they went a long way into, being in that playoff spot, one of the four coming up. Mentioned those other games of 4A1. I know you're going to go over. Are you going? Did you decide?
Yeah.
You're going to Weatherford, taking the Clinton-Weatherford game?
Yes.
I think if you're wearing the maroon and gold, or is it cardinal and gold?
I'm wearing neutral colors.
No, I'm talking about Clinton's colors. You know what they are.
I thought you were asking if you are wearing.
No. Well,
I'm wearing a cowboy hoodie right now.
I'm saying if the listener.
Dallas,
the listeners who are wearing the maroon and gold.
It is maroon and gold.
They will be happy by the time this one's over. That's going to be my prediction. They'll be headed back down west on I-40 with a W.
Yeah. I mean, there is always the intrigue of it being a rivalry game. And you got to think that Weatherford's going to pull out all stops and throw a lot of stuff that they haven't revealed or seen, or they may even worked on some stuff this week that nobody has seen. You see what I'm saying? I mean, they would love nothing more than play the role of spoiler.
Oh, sure.
But
there's no doubt about that.
Talent on talent, though. Yeah, it seems like Clinton is the better team.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, yeah, all that
I mean,
stuff.
I'm trying to find intrigue in this game.
All
you know
of that stuff.
Mean?
Well, it's,
I know what
it
you're
is.
Doing. I know. But what I'm doing, I'm trying to find intrigue in this game. You know, is there a – I'm trying to find that storyline, the chance for Weatherford. And the chance is if they do a lot of different stuff that no one has seen before that they've never put on film.
Play better than they have. I mean, that's
simple. Yeah. I mean, that's the easy
to this answer. Point, they haven't played well enough to beat Clinton.
No.
Period. But it is that game, and – crazy things have happened in the past to one of the favorites in that game. But, I mean, you want to talk about shocking. It will be shocking to me if that doesn't go Clinton's way. The Bethany-Chickasha game is the one with the intrigue to me. Because doesn't it feel like Chickasha has played a totally different brand of football the entire season outside of that back-to-back stretch with Clinton and Elk City?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It feels like they have been a much better team than what they represented themselves as those 2 weeks. Because those two scores are the outlier when you look through their schedule, not the norm.
You know what I think the difference was in the Clinton and Elk City game? they played really good defenses. They played against really good defenses that can frustrate you. That's what Oak City does. Clinton has a good defense, but they and maybe even Marlow. Marlow's a pretty good team out too. I'm looking at their schedule right now. But teams that don't have good defense are able to have real good success on offense.
They got dudes out there, man.
They do.
They've got Malik Murphy in the backfield. I like the quarterback Bowen. As a runner, I think Rayburn was a better thrower. You know, you kind of like for that guy to be one guy instead of having two because it kind of tips off what you're trying to do maybe a little bit. Copeland McFadden, he's made some incredible plays against Elk City the last couple of years. Number five, the receiver. Ronald Givens is out there. Tayshawn Richardson, 19, is out there. I mean, those guys, they have got some skill guys, no doubt about it. But you may be right. Up front, both defenses, Elk City and Clinton, were able to kind of handle what they were trying to do and slow that attack down. We'll see what Bethany can do. They're kind of in that same boat. But I think that one's really intriguing at Chickasha tonight with Bethany. Let's go down to Class A, especially District 1. Man, all these games matter, which – a lot of times this time of year, you can't say. It seems like there's usually one that's like, okay, it's a throwaway. But all these are going to matter. With Merritt at Thomas, you've got Hooker at Texoma, Fairview at Moreland, and then Sayers hosting Burns Flat Deal City. You know, mentioned it earlier this week for Burns Flat Deal City, Merritt, Thomas, Texoma, they're all tied for the fourth spot with one win in the district. And they're all about to start playing each other. And like we said, or what I think is true on these last 3 weeks, if one team either beats one of the big three, which is Fairview, Hooker, and Moreland, or loses to Sayre, that's going to be a huge difference maker outside of playing each other. Because you have to beat Sayre if you're one of these teams wanting to sneak into the playoffs. You have to do that. You can't be the team that gets knocked off by the Eagles. They're 0-4 in the district. They haven't, you know, obviously haven't beaten anybody. You can't be the team that they upset. So if you're Burns Flat going over there tonight, you have to win that game to stay in touch because you can't afford to fall that game behind that everybody else is getting. On the flip side of that, if you can figure out a way to beat one of those big three, you're getting a win that nobody else is getting. It's Fairview, Hooker, Moreland, undefeated in the district, undefeated overall, all three of those teams for the season. So if you can sneak an upset in against one of those, then that gives you a leg up in the district race as well. So I think this is going to be fascinating down the stretch to see how these games play out, not only at the top of the district with Fairview, Hooker, and Moreland all starting to play each other as well, but those teams in the middle trying to figure out who the fourth place team is to go to the playoffs is going to be an awesome race.
With three games remaining, who do you think is that fourth spot? Willing to do a little prediction? I'm looking at all their schedules. I think I got an idea.
I think the team that has the best schedule is Burns Flat Deal City.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
At Sayre, host Thomas, at Merritt. Thomas, they're similar. Merritt at Burns Flat, Texoma. What I'm saying is they've already got their losses out of the way from the big guys and have already beat Sayre. So they don't have that potential roadblock in their way either. I think it's one of those two.
I'll go on record.
I think one of those two is going to win all three games.
Burns Flat or Thomas?
Yes.
I'll go on record right now to say Merritt's going to win tonight.
So you don't think it's Thomas?
I don't think it's Thomas. I think Burns Flat wins their next three.
Well, if you think that,
then it's Burns Flat.
That Merritt Burns Flat game is going to be humongous.
At the end of the year.
At the end of the year. 10,
yes.
With Texoma lurking.
Burns Flat at Merritt, man, it'd be fun.
Texoma lurking as well.
Texoma's always a problem. I mean, they're always...
Well, and what it does is that would create the three-teamer because Merritt beat Texoma, or lost to Texoma. Texoma lost to Burns Flat, so Merritt would have to beat Burns Flat to create that three-way tie.
Yeah.
And the points scenario, which right now Merritt's dominating that with those three, but that can go in flux so much between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think Merritt's going to be the one that pulls it off.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to beat Thomas, and I think they're going to beat Burns Flat.
And listen, listener, I'm not throwing shade at any team. I'm just calling it how I see it.
But then it makes it Thomas. Oh, or then Texoma and Merritt might be a two-way tie, and that 1 point loss.
Remember when I said that? Yes. What? That 1 point is the difference.
1 point could be the difference.
Not, man. Darn.
If you're Merritt, you'll be rooting for Thomas big time that last week. to pull off that upset, or what looks like an upset at least right now, kind of.
You never know. And Thomas, might say after finally tasting a win for those young guys against Sayre, they go, oh, this is how we do it in Thomas. And they go and win three in a row.
Well, here's my question. Do you wonder, or I wonder, is that record inflated the wrong way because of who they played? Listen, everybody else is 0-3 in the district against Moreland, Fairview, and Hooker. The difference is Thomas played all three of them in a row at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
No, so their record went immediately down where everybody else's hasn't quite got there yet.
And here's the deal. You played a white-hot Watonga team to start the year.
Cashin,
we know about Cashin. They're playing Alva. They lost 8-7, but it was a rainout.
Yeah, so how long did they play?
Alva's
a quarter?
Not good. Look at them. They're not good.
But did they play a quarter?
I don't know how long that went.
It's a non-district game, so you never know when it ended.
They probably said, okay, call it. And then you mentioned Moreland, Fairview, Hooker.
Yeah.
You're right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, is it just a function of the way the schedule laid out for Thomas, and now they're going to be able to kind of rise above the rest of that group? We're going to find out starting tonight.
Yes, we are.
With Merritt there, you can watch at Paragon TV, 7 p.m.
I might be going to the wrong school in Custer County tonight.
For the Oilers, if you want to watch a competitive game, you are.
Okay.
Don't forget to make your picks. Western Oklahoma Realty, college pick 'em. You've got 25 and a half hours from right now to get your picks in. Everybody is kind of jumbling up except for a few certain good pickers. Where's old Peffer? He's still right up there at the top. Getting a lot of trash talk from Possum on the group text. He's 4 above .500. Blonde boy, hey, our man Scotty. He's crept up there. Had a couple of good weeks in a row, 38, 32. Listen, 41-29 is fantastic work against the spread so far, which is the lead. So get your picks in. Western Oklahoma Realty College, pick 'em. People before property is the motto down there with Tyler Harris and Robbie Allen and the whole gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. If you need anything real estate-wise, they will take care of you first and get what you need to get done second. It's Western Oklahoma Realty College. Pick 'em. Make your picks before the game start at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow, big one in the Big 12. One of the few intriguing matchups this week. There's no game in the country that features ranked opponents, which seems shocking to me for, toward the end of October. But that's the way it is. Next week, not going to be the case. There's going to be tons of big matchups. But for this week, Oklahoma State, Iowa State's one of the best games around the country. There's no doubt about that. These two teams have played close ones. Oklahoma State's won almost every one of them. What did we say the other day? They'd won 8 of 10, 8 of the last 9 since that humongous upset back in 2011. And the one game that Iowa State won was when Brock Purdy burst onto the scene in Stillwater as a freshman. Just 10 plays into the game, and Iowa State was able to win that one. I think it's going to be a really interesting game. I think these teams mirror each other almost identically. They both want to run the ball. They both have a very good running back. They both have pretty good offensive lines. They both play good defense. Best two defenses, I think, in the conference. They play similar styles of defense. And they both have a quarterback that'll win you the game and lose you the game. And so I think this is like mirror images of each other tomorrow afternoon, in Ames, Oklahoma State and Iowa State.
Yeah, like we said yesterday, definitely taking the under after 24 hours of thinking about it. Over-under is 47. I know we're not a betting show, but I would definitely take the under because of everything you said. And I think it really comes down to who blinks first. And by that, I mean, and I said this yesterday, someone said it this morning on the Morning Animals. I said, I said that yesterday, so clearly they're listening to us and our podcast. What quarterback makes the least mistakes? Who just takes care of the football and is a game manager? Who's not trying to force anything? Who doesn't drop the football when they're trying to scramble? Stuff like that. Purdy, he has a reputation of throwing interceptions in games like this. Spencer, he has that reputation of doing that and fumbling. Who doesn't do that? Because your defense can pick you up as long as you take care of the football. I'm talking to both quarterbacks here.
Yeah, I think for that reason, early on is pretty important. A lot like what was why that interception by Jason Carter was so huge last week was because it allowed Oklahoma State to continue to play the way Oklahoma State wanted to play instead of forcing the ball in Spencer Sanders' hands to try to come back. You know, Texas scores even a field goal there. It's 20-3 with, you know, a couple of minutes before half.
Yeah.
You know, a touchdown, then it's 24-3. Then you're talking about, okay, Spencer, come lead us back. You know, you almost feel like you're out of time to continue the game plan of handing the ball to Jalen Warren and playing great defense. And then that pick six completely flipped that on its head, and it allowed Oklahoma State to continue to play the way that Oklahoma State wanted to, and you saw what happened in the fourth quarter. They dominated, 173 yards to one, 16-0 on the scoreboard, and just wore out Texas. And I think if one of these two teams is able to get out to a decent lead with the way that they both want to play, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It keeps them in their comfort zone, and which is why I have a hard time believing this is going to be much of a spread at any point in the game. You know, a 10-point lead in this game or a 14-point lead in this game is going to feel like a million.
Yeah.
Because of the way that it feels like both of these coaches are going to try to keep their quarterback from losing it, which is
very
which,
conservative yeah, play and, calling.
And I don't think
they're okay with playing between the 20s for most of the game.
I think so too, and it almost feels like they're going to be so focused on not having the quarterbacks lose it that I'm not even sure they're going to give either quarterback the chance to win it.
Yeah.
You know, so then it's offensive line, it's run game. You know, Breece Hall started out the year as
you know what it feels like.
What?
A high school game.
A little bit. I mean, kicking and specialty, all that's going to matter.
Yeah.
A lot, and it feels like going into
it. That's not a
knock
on the quality of players. It's just the way the game could be called. It could feel like a high school game because in most high schools, and you got skill players here and there, and sometimes you don't have the best of quarterbacks, so you just put them in the best situation that you could possibly put them in without forcing turnovers, without putting them in a bad situation.
Yeah, and the last six of these have been decided by a touchdown or less. So these two are used to playing close games. Like I said, Oklahoma State has just won basically all of them except for 2018 in Stillwater. So, I know what you're saying about the over-under. 47 is so few points in college football. But, I mean, doesn't it feel like first to 20 wins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if that's the case, it's impossible for it to get, I guess it could be 29-19, and it gets there. So I take that back. It is possible to get over with only one team.
I see like a 21-13. I said this yesterday, 20-13, 20-14, 21-13, somewhere in there.
21-17, 20-17, any of that.
Now, who wins? Flip a coin almost. I almost, after thinking about it for so long, I almost give that slight edge to Iowa State because it is at home. But that didn't matter last week for OSU. Going into Austin, which hasn't really turned out to be a home field advantage anymore.
Oh, she's won four straight there?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about in Ames.
Oh, in Ames. Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Gosh, what down? 6 of 7 down in Austin. Yeah, four straight in Ames. The only loss that they've had in the last nine was that 2018 game in Stillwater. I think it's going to be a fantastic – if you – you know what it's going to remind you of? You know how back in when College Game Day was the coolest show on Earth on TV?
Yeah.
You'd watch it, and you'd get fired up for the games. And then they would, let's send it out to Evanston, Illinois. And you'd see Northwestern and whoever play about a 10-3 game. And all the excitement from game day would just go completely out the window. I think that's where we're headed here. One of those old school, bruising, Big Ten, boring games. But it's going to be a lot of fun if you like defense, and it's going to be really.
Well, that's why
I think
like,
it's going to be tense as all get out because
that's like, what I like about games like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like every play, like it, honestly, I think both, especially when this thing gets to the second half and it's close, which I definitely think it's going to be. I think both fan bases watching the game are going to be more tense and more nervous when their team has the ball, as opposed to when they're playing defense. Because I think they're both supremely confident in what their defense is going to be able to do against the other one's offense. But when they've got the ball, I think you're almost going to see the fans holding their breath, thinking, oh, dear Lord, don't throw the damn game away.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
A punt is great.
Yeah.
A punt is great. Make their guy screw up.
Like, you'd rather see them run it on 3rd and 8.
100%. Especially if you're down kind of close to your own goal line.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, run this. If we pop it for a first down, great. If not, punt the damn thing.
Yeah, we're in good field position to punt them and pin them deep.
Now, here's one thing that's going to be a little bit different, I think, than a lot of trips that most teams make to Ames in October or November. I think the weather's supposed to be really nice. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of times.
Yeah, you'd think this time of year in Ames it wouldn't be.
It could be windy. The wind could be a huge factor and be cold.
Fall wind, yeah.
I don't know that that's going to be the case from what I was kind of listening, that it's supposed to be an unseasonably nice day. So, you know, that may not play as much of a part as it could in a lot of times when you're going up there to either Ames or, heck, if you're going to, you know, Manhattan sometimes, you know, we've seen
you get that
where it's just crazy weather, crazy wind.
Of course, you asked me about weather.
Check it out.
I'm a weather guy.
Look it up.
I'm a radio guy. We always have our mind on the weather and our eyes on the weather. Okay. Talks amongst yourself. Ames, Oklahoma.
Well, that's the problem.
Dummy.
There is an Ames, Oklahoma, though.
Okay, let's get some game day weather for the beautiful area of Ames. Well, I might have to circle back to this. Am I spelling Ames wrong?
A-M-E-S.
That's what I'm doing.
Here it is right here.
You got it?
No.
I wanted to get the hourly. Like, I wanted to get right down. There we go.
2:30 okay. Tomorrow. 2:30 through 6.
Here we go. Saturday afternoon in Ames, Iowa. 2:00. Let's go start there. 2:00. Partly cloudy, 55. East breeze at 10.
That's nice. That's very nice. For
it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, that's super nice.
This time of year in Ames, Iowa. That's about as warm as it'll get. 56. You're always going to have partly cloudy skies, and it won't be any more windier than that. So,
that's super nice day in the end of October for Ames, Iowa.
Yes, it is. Now, listen, you wake up. Good thing it's not an 11:00 game or something like that. 8 a.m., it looks like it might freeze overnight. It's like 33 at 8 a.m. in Ames. So it'll start brisk, which is expected this time of year.
Listen, a game like this deserves for the weather to be overcast and cloudy and kind of scrummy. And
you don't want weather to play a factor in this game.
No.
What do you mean?
It needs to be ugly because this game is going to be kind of an ugly, plotting game.
I see.
So the overcast, the cloudy skies, you're going to play right into that.
Okay.
So you've got a little Iowa State lean to you. I've got a little OSU lean to me.
Okay.
I'm
not confident on it. I just
I think it's going to be a close game.
Evenly matched game. When it comes to that, I usually go for the home team. I usually lean the home team.
ESPN's FPI.
No, I'm rooting for OSU. Don't kid yourself.
The ESPN FPI.
Yeah.
Gives Iowa State a 78% chance to win this game.
No.
That seems high.
That is way high.
That seems pretty high.
You know what that tells me? It's that no one trusts the OSU offense. They trust – you see what I'm saying? If OSU gets behind against this team, it's going to be hard for that offense
scary.
To bring them back.
The one thing that makes me nervous if I was an OSU fan is the line being as high as it is. Because it looks too easy. If you're any Joe Schmo sitting in Vegas tomorrow is going to look up there and go, wait a minute. Undefeated number 8 Oklahoma State is catching a touchdown against unranked Iowa State? What? Unload on the Pokes. That's what scares me. Because a lot of time that old boy isn't right.
Yeah.
The public play isn't right. But I think it's going to be a fantastic football game tomorrow in Ames. Not the same story in Lawrence.
Yeah, the appetizer of the day.
Yeah, Oklahoma going to Kansas. Listen, here's the thing.
We're not going to know anything after this game.
I don't think so either. The one thing that matters is getting out of this thing healthy.
Yeah.
It is intriguing to see what happens with Rattler just a little bit. You know, we talked with Jim on Monday about would you put him in, would you not, and this and that. Let me ask you this. barring the Sooners playing terrible and it being a closer game than we think, how would you handle Rattler as far as when to put him in, who to play him with, and that kind of thing?
Well, like you would your second string quarterback. If it's a blowout and you're pulling your starters, he's the guy. Put him in. I mean, that's listen, that's what he is now. He's the backup quarterback. I don't care if his feeling gets hurt or if he doesn't want to. I don't care. That's your role, Spencer. That is your role. You're the back because, heaven forbid, Caleb Williams snaps an ankle and you haven't taken enough snap. I mean, you see what I'm saying? You want to keep him sharp.
See, that's why let's say it's 21-0, OU scores, boom, 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 then get the ball back. I think about putting him in with the first team guys just for that reason right there. And that reason alone, to have him playing with the guys that he would have to play with in the event that something bad happens to Williams. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As opposed to throwing him out there when it's 45-0 with the second team guys and he's turning around and handing it off all night long.
Yeah.
You know, I think about if you're going to use him in the capacity that he will have to be used in if he has to come in.
Right.
As opposed to just kind of throwing a bone.
And listen,
Ralph Rucker can turn around and hand it off to the weatherman running back that walked on.
We could probably see all three quarterbacks tomorrow, really. Yeah. But I base my answer to that off of Lincoln Riley's press conference on Tuesday. He was asked that very question, that's what he says. I'll handle it like I always handle my backups. And he still knows he has a role in this team, da-da-da. He gave the coach answer, but I think that's how he'll handle it. My first reaction was on Monday when we were kind of talking about this, whether to put him in, not in a blowout, whatever. If I'm Riley, you know, he has these close relationships with these quarterbacks. You can go ask him, hey, you want to go play? You want to play? That doesn't do him any favors, though, Spencer, that is.
Yeah, if he says no, he gets hammered.
Yeah.
Because then he looks like he's too good to play with the second
team.
Exactly. But that's why I put him in.
He's still your player, and you're still the head coach. Uh-huh. You tell him when to go in. Tell him to put his helmet on and get in there and take some snaps.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if OU starts out well, scoring points, dominating the game into the second quarter, if we don't see Rattler out there with the first team guys, just to try to keep, like you said, sharp, but also – in the flow of what's going to be needed of him if something bad happens.
Right.
All right, give me – make a case for an upset somewhere around the country tomorrow.
Easy. LSU at Ole Miss. Win one for the Gipper.
They already did that.
LSU is rallying. No, they made the announcement after the
Florida but they game. Yeah, but they did it last week to try to keep you from getting fired.
Well, it's going
to
continue. They're going to. He did it at USC when they were all rooting for him. They all rallied around this guy. They're going to do it at LSU. Maybe not the rest of the games, but I could see it the next game after he announced he's leaving. They're gonna win one for Coach O at Ole Miss, while Ole Miss is wearing their sissy blue uniforms.
Yeah, that one's not going to happen. But
sorry, Tyler.
Is this – let me ask you this. Because when I say these two names, you're going to go, that's not an upset. So what constitutes an upset? The team ranked higher and also being a favorite? So if the unranked underdog wins the game, is that an upset?
If that's how you're defining it, sure.
Well, I'm asking if that's how I can define it.
You're going to go Clemson Pitt, aren't you?
Yes. Clemson beating Pitt.
I always went there.
That's exactly
that
where I'm going.
That was too easy.
Well, see, I thought UCLA Oregon was too easy.
1 point
favorite.
But
Oregon's
please.
The favorite. I'm sorry. UCLA
is
the favorite.
A 1 point favorite.
Yeah, so that can't be an upset if you. No, I wasn't going to pick Oregon. I was going to pick UCLA, but they're the favorite.
I'm
going to go Clemson.
LSU winning in Oxford is an upset.
I'll agree with that.
And I think they have the best. I think they have a real good chance.
Watch out for the Army. Watch out for the Army.
Yeah.
Wake Forest 6-0. They don't have any idea how to handle themselves 6-0 in October.
Yeah.
Watch out for the armed forces.
They were babies
the Army.
They went to the Orange Bowl last time.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
I like your LSU. Go Tigers!
Don't forget tonight, the Merritt Oilers travel to Thomas Paragon TV. 7 o'clock kick for the Terriers and the Oilers. Big game there in Class A's District 1.
Jess Moore on the call. Jess Moore.
/ Jay Kirby. Man, they sound alike.
They do.
They sound a lot alike. That's pretty crazy. Tonight, baseball, game 6, Boston at Houston. The Stros won the last two. Take a 3-2 lead over Boston. They head back to Houston. Astros trying to make their third World Series in the last 5 years. Then last night, Chris Taylor went deep three times to keep the Dodgers alive, 11-2 over the Braves. The Braves had everything set up. Max Fried on the hill. Dodgers in a bullpen game. And L.A. hit five home runs. Taylor had three. Pollock had two. And so they head back to Atlanta with a 3-2 deficit still. But pitching lines up pretty well for L.A. if Max Scherzer's arm isn't about to fall off. He'll go game six. Walker Buehler ought to be ready for game seven. So that's, man, if you're the Braves, at what point does the pucker factor come in over the weekend? Has it already started?
Yes.
Were they able to get off the plane? That's it's scary with what happened last year between those two teams. You go at 3-1, you're supposed to win 85% of the time. History shows in Major League Baseball seven-game series. The Braves lost three again with a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers last year. That'd be almost – the odds are would be almost unfathomable for that to happen to the same team, two teams, 2 years in a row in the NLCS. All right, best games this weekend on the NFL slate. There's not a ton of good ones, to be quite honest with you.
I like one.
Which one?
Chiefs at Titans.
Probably the best if – well, probably the best game. Think there's a sneaky good one, though. And it's record-wise, it says it should be a good game. But when you hear one of the teams that's in it, you're like, nah, not a buyer. Baltimore-Cincinnati. Baltimore 5-1, the Bengals 4-2. That's for control, early control, of the AFC North. If Cincinnati was able to go into Baltimore and get that win with Joe Burrow and company, they would be atop the AFC North. I don't think anybody saw that coming to start the season.
The most awkward game? Lions at Rams.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, hey. Hey, how you doing there?
I think it would be, Jared.
Hey.
Here's another one.
What's that?
J.J. Watt against his former mates in Houston, Arizona, Houston.
A little
awkwardness.
Yeah. J.J. Watt's doing pretty good for himself.
If you're Arizona. Matthew Stafford, when you walk on the field tomorrow in L.A. with your former mates and the Detroit Lions on the other side, do you just kind of look up and just praise God for that trade? Or the way that worked out.
He probably does.
Don't you do that?
After every Sunday, yes.
Or every single second of the day?
Yeah.
You're telling me I went from the Lions to the Rams? Thank you.
Yeah. He's sitting pretty. Now, poor Jared Goff. Poor Jared Goff? Question mark?
I mean.
If he couldn't get it done with the Rams, I mean, if he couldn't.
Isn't this the ultimate you are who we thought? He is who we thought he was.
Yeah.
Dennis Green.
Yep.
I mean,
I see quarterbacks like him, and I, you know, highly drafted, highly rated. Where's the best system for him? Lions clearly not it.
They replaced him with a better quarterback at the best system for him. Sean McVay took Jared Goff to the Super Bowl, for God's sake.
Very true. Yeah, he had his chance at the best opportunity. Yeah.
Yep. And now he's not there anymore because he couldn't get her done. Yeah, there's really, golly, when you look at the slate, you've got one game all weekend with two teams with winning records.
It's the first week of byes, isn't it?
Second week of byes, but there's a bunch of good teams on byes.
Yeah.
Best team in the league not playing this week.
Dallas?
Correct.
How about Washington at Packers? Can Washington's defense finally show up?
No. Oh, it was pretty nice of the Bears to sell the ownership stake that they gave to Aaron Rodgers since he owns them.
He owns them.
That was pretty good.
That was funny.
Kansas City, Tennessee would be a good one. How many yards do you think Derrick Henry's going to run for? 400?
Ooh,
against that terrible Kansas City defense?
It'll be close.
I got news for you. You know who's in bad shape this week, fantasy-wise?
Whoever you're playing?
Matt Thompson. Because D'Ernest Johnson, my third running back, scored 25. And I got King Henry against the Chiefs coming up.
Oh, boy.
I may get to 200 this week.
I got a buddy who's a big Titans fan. If they go ahead and win that game, I might borrow a hat and wear it on Monday just for our boy.
Hey, whatever it takes. Dakota's already – he's like covering his eyes – thinking about what King Henry's about to do to his Chiefs defense.
Hey, that win against
the
Bills.
A joke I can't tell on the air, but there's another Chiefs fan that their defense may end up looking like him after this is over, trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
You didn't have to tell. You told the joke, man. You told the joke. Everybody's laughing right now. They know exactly who that man is.
He'll get in the end zone. He'll start taking fingers out of his jersey, slamming them down on the ground.
Oh, boy. And on that note,
everybody have a great weekend.
Have a great day.
Meredith Thomas tonight, 7 o'clock, Paragon TV, and right here.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.